Hey everyone, welcome to this episode of the Dorenda Wilson Podcast. I'm Dorenda, wife to one, mom to eight, nana to 11, and 30-year veteran homeschooling mom. I'm also the author of three books, The Unhurried Homeschooler, The 4-Hour School Day, and Unhurried Grace for a Mom's Heart. Now, if you're a regular listener, you realize I just missed the last book that came out. So it hasn't even been, maybe it's been 10 days since the last book came out. So I'm going to have to get the hang of this. But anyhow, the last book that just came out recently is called Raising Boys to Men, a simple, mercifully short book on raising and homeschooling boys. Now, if you'll notice, my first book, The Unhurried Homeschooler, is a simple, mercifully short book on homeschooling. And then Raising Boys to Men, simple, mercifully short book on raising and homeschooling boys. Do you hear a theme there? I am working on a series of books that are simple and mercifully short. But right now, the one that's fresh and new that I hope you'll go and check out if you haven't is Raising Boys to Men. You can find all four of my books on Amazon. You can find all four of my books at dorendawilson.com, except right now I'm out of stock on Raising Boys to Men, but I've ordered more. So wherever you want to order from is fine with me. You might want to wait just a little bit till I get some in stock if you want to order for me. Otherwise, just go to Amazon. You can grab one there. Also, I would love for you to be sure to listen in after the prayer today on this episode for a great opportunity for your teen. I received a heartwarming message from Rachel in Oklahoma that I just had to share with all of you. Rachel writes, I've gotten my son on CTC math. He's my oldest of five and he absolutely loves it. He shared how it allows him to progress at a pace that is right for him, much faster than our previous material. And here's the cherry on top. This shift has gifted me an extra 20 minutes, allowing me to focus more on my 2 and 3-year-olds. Rachel says, thank you for sharing CTC math with your listeners. It's already making a huge difference for us. So moms, if you haven't yet, it might be time to explore what CTC math can do for your family. Jumpstart your child's math journey by visiting ctcmath.com. That's ctcmath.com. Well, moms, when we started the new year, I told you all that after much prayer over 2024, it seemed like the Lord wanted me to focus on becoming wise women of God here on the podcast. I've been working on that process for a few decades now. In fact, when I was a teenager, I used to pray that God would make me wise beyond my years. And I really felt like that is exactly what he did. But of course, you know what that means, moms. That means that I got tested pretty intensely at different points because I don't believe we can acquire wisdom without testing, without trials, and without afflictions. And I'm looking around at the body of Christ right now, and I'm seeing a lot of people going through testing and trials and afflictions. In fact, I did a podcast episode a while back on that, how believers should handle suffering. I'll leave a link in the show notes for you because if that's something you're dealing with right now, this episode will be a huge encouragement to you. But like I said before, I really feel like the Lord has wanted me to focus on not only becoming a wise woman of God myself, but to walk alongside all of you in hopefully helping you do that as well. You know, Titus 2 talks about Titus 2 women who are here to mentor the younger women. So older women mentoring the younger women. There's not a lot of that going on in the church right now. I'm hoping that will change over time. But I know that a lot of moms are finding their mentoring online. I think if you can find it in real life, oh my gosh, that is your first, that would be my first choice. But you know what? God also has provided a lot of different people out there who are qualified to speak the truth to you through technology as well. But don't ever give up on the real life relationships. I just want to make sure that I say that. So I want to walk with all of you as we together become wiser women of God. And today I'm going to be sharing some simple but very helpful tips that our family has recently learned when it comes to working through conflict with other believers. And this includes adult children, extended family members who are believers. So adult children who are believers, extended family members who are believers. It was just such a wonderful experience to be able to be equipped with some really helpful tools just recently. So I'm excited to share those with you. But before I do that, I want you to know about a resource that I cannot recommend highly enough. It's Heritage Defense. We live in love and not fear, but the possibility of being falsely reported to CPS is a real cause for concern, especially in light of unexpected situations like what happened to my family. And I'll leave a link in the show notes to that story. But what if there's a situation with potential risk that has not yet materialized? Is there a law that you're concerned about that you would like to understand better? You may not need legal representation, but legal advice would be extremely useful. Christian homeschool families can experience this peace of mind by joining Heritage Defense. Members can schedule free consultations with Heritage Defense attorneys to receive expert advice in these complicated situations. You can find out more about that and to apply for membership at heritagedefense.org, and I'll leave that link in the show notes. So first off, I want to say to all of you, thank you. I can't thank you enough. The podcast has hit 3 million downloads. There are now over 500 episodes on the podcast as well. We've sort of hit a whole bunch of landmarks all at once. But moms, I wouldn't be here without you. We wouldn't be here without you faithfully listening, leaving reviews, telling your friends about the podcast. So I just want to say to you, if I could reach through the microphone right now and give you a big hug and say thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. Thank you for the emails that you send, which, by the way, I'm trying to answer. I've been buried in a lot of different things that I'll explain in just a minute, but book launch related things, all good things. But I want you to know that if you have emailed me, messaged me, I have your message in my folder and I intend to answer, but it's just been a lot right now. Let's just put it in really, really good ways, but just know that I haven't forgotten about you. And if you've emailed me before and I haven't answered, it really was not intentional. I really try hard to keep up with all of that, but I struggle and I fail sometimes. So just know that. And if there's something that you just, is still a burning answer in your heart, because often when I get these emails and then I realize that several have slipped through the cracks, I sometimes just have to trust God that He has answered your prayer already, maybe through someone else, or He's spoken to your heart about it, or through your husband or friends or something like that. I trust that God is faithful to do that. But if there is a question that's burning and on your heart and I never did answer it, please feel free to email me back and tell me that you emailed me before and this is that burning question, and I will try to make sure that I make it a priority to answer. But again, I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. Again, I just want to say also 500 episodes on the podcast, you guys. Really, that is a lot of episodes. And I realize some of you are new and you're thinking, there's no way I'm going to like go through all the titles and try to find the ones I want to listen to. Here's what I want to suggest to you. If you have topics on your heart that you wonder if I have talked about, go to the search bar on the podcast page of my website and put in, it's at the top of the list of episodes, put in the keyword that you want to know about. So maybe you want to know about homeschooling high school, put in high school, and all the episodes that are on that topic will come up for you to listen to. So I encourage you to do that. If you haven't listened or haven't gone through the episodes and you know you think there might be more, there's a burning topic on your heart that you wonder if I've already talked about, that is the way to find that. I want to let you all know just a little bit about how the book launch is going, because I know that many of you have left reviews, you have shared, you've ordered, just so many ways you have helped get the book out there. And again, reaching through, giving you a hug to say thank you, because you are honestly the best marketers on the planet. There is nothing like a homeschool mom. Or a group of homeschool moms, we talk. When we're excited about something, we want our peeps to know about it. And you guys have done an incredible job of getting this book out there. At the moment, there are over 3,500 moms who are reading Raising Boys to Men right now. Some of them have finished it, have sent me emails, and it has just been so exciting to me. Not because this project is about selling books, because that's not what this is about. This is what is burning on my heart and what has been such a prayer of mine as I have launched this book, is that in the short term, my short-term goal and prayer is that families would be changed for the good when it comes to raising their sons, that families would be walking in obedience to the Lord more clearly and more enthusiastically, that they would understand what that looks like when it comes to raising their sons within the four walls of their homes. That's number one. But what the long-term goal is and the long-term prayer is that there would ultimately be a shift in the culture toward God's word and ways because of these warriors and dragon slayers that we are raising. So what I see happening, mom, is these boys that you are raising right now, in 10 to 15 years, they're going to go out into this culture of ours. And because God has made them to lead, provide, protect, build, and conquer, they are going to go out there and make an incredible difference in the culture. I just believe that with all of my heart. And so, but it starts with sowing those seeds right now and trusting God down the road for this harvest that I believe is going to happen. One thing I have noticed about this generation of moms that I am absolutely loving is their eyes are wide open. And I feel like part of it was COVID that sort of turned the light on for so many of us. But even more so for the younger generation, what I'm seeing is you guys are going, no, this is not right. This is not okay. This is not what I want for my sons. This is not what God has for us as a family. I want to do it different. And you are taking the bull by the horns along with your husbands and saying, we're going to do this better. We're going to do this in more obedience to God. We are not going to cave into the culture. And it is just such a delight and an encouragement to see. So what I can say is, even if you're scared right now and you're feeling like, I'm doing this, but I'm doing it scared, I say kudos to you. Keep moving forward. I am so proud of you. So well done, and just keep up the good work, and I hope you'll continue to find encouragement here. It's been a blast because I have been on a bunch of different podcasts and radio shows talking about raising boys to men. Some of these people are people I kind of already had connections with, but some of these doors are just doors that God has just opened up. He is so faithful. So I'm going to leave a list in the show notes that you can, of the radio shows and podcasts that I've been on up to this point, and talking about raising boys to men. And it's funny because every conversation is different. So it's not like you're going to hear the exact same thing every time. So I've been on M is for Mommy, Mama with Abby Halberstadt. She's the one who also wrote Hard is Not the Same Thing as Bad. I had a wonderful conversation with Ginger Hubbard on parenting with Ginger Hubbard, Little by Little Homeschool, Schoolhouse Rocked, Simple Farmhouse Life, Homesteaders of America, the Doctor Nurse Mama radio show, which I'm actually going to be back on again in April to talk more about raising boys. And then I was on three radio, one episode in three different places on 670 KLTT in Denver, Colorado. I was also with Lori Beth Aldridge on Elevating Motherhood. And I had a great conversation with Nikki Dutton from More with Nikki Dutton. And Nikki Dutton is in a little bit different genre than my typical podcast. She's more with the younger moms who are either haven't had kids or are beginning to have kids. So it was a really fun conversation about establishing an intentional culture with your own family. So I welcome you to go and listen to those because they were just really great interviews with lots of encouragement. And now I'm to the point where I'm recording this podcast. I'm literally recording this podcast less than 48 hours before it's supposed to publish. This is not my normal MO. I don't usually podcast like months ahead of time. I'll podcast at most, maybe 2 to 3 weeks ahead of time, partly because I like to really follow the Holy Spirit's lead and be able to switch things up and change things as I'm seeing the need and God is speaking to me about where to go with things. But I'm going to be transparent and raw with you. I am hanging on by the seat of my pants right now. It has been a super busy couple of weeks. And as you know, from that list of episodes and some episodes that I've done haven't even published yet, I've had tons of interviews and book launch related things. And it's been so much fun and so productive. And I'm so grateful. However, yesterday morning, I was almost in tears, because I have had to let some things go around my house. And it's been a couple of weeks, of maybe even 3 weeks, of letting things go. It desperately needed cleaning. The yard needed some help. I needed to meal plan, grocery shop, record this podcast for Monday. And it felt like I'd been already pushing myself for several weeks now. And now I needed to push myself even more. And I was just sort of a little bit at the end of my rope. And I talked to my husband about it and just tried to pray about it, because it was really turning into an attitude, quite frankly. But my husband was so sweet. He took care of the yard. And I decided just to stop feeling sorry for myself. And I decided that, you know what? God is so good. I need to just be praising Him for a wonderful book launch and a productive week. I need to roll up my sleeves and I just need to get working. And you know, moms, it was the best thing I could have done. You know, God is so good. And you know, we can't have it all. We make choices, and I made choices over the last few weeks. They were the right choices, but we live in a sinful world, and sometimes just that sort of catches up with us. And, you know, there's things tend to toward chaos if we're not tending to them, especially in our homes. So yesterday I cleaned the house from one end to the other. Today I meal planned. I went grocery shopping. I'm recording this podcast. Tomorrow will be a day of rest. And next week, this is super exciting, you guys. I'm going to be busy recording the audio version of Raising Boys to Men. We're hoping to have this available in early April. So be listening for and watching for that. It will be available exclusively from my website. But all that to say, moms, there's a point here. I never set out to be an author, a speaker, or a podcaster, but God has graciously allowed me to speak into the next generation in these ways. And I am so, so grateful. However, there is also something so grounding and calming about having my home in order. And this will always be the case, moms, because it's what I was made for and what is most important to me. And that is to create and keep an inviting and peaceful home, a place where my people connect and gather daily, where memories continue to be made and heartstrings tied. Now, that atmosphere in our homes is key to what goes on within our homes. And what goes on within our homes is key to setting the atmosphere in our homes. They feed each other. So moms, guess what? We are the ones that primarily set that tone. And often that means that we have to spearhead keeping a spirit of peace. And peace is something that we should work diligently to cultivate. Now, let me just say that we don't cultivate peace or sacrifice peace at the cost, or try to attain peace at the cost of truth. We can speak the truth in love. That is cultivating peace, Christ's peace. And now people don't always cooperate with that, but that ultimately is cultivating peace, when we walk in obedience to the Lord and we speak the truth in love, even when it's hard. Okay, so I just wanted to clarify what I mean when I talk about cultivating a spirit of peace. But here are some verses on loving our brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, I want to remind you that God calls us the family of God. So these principles that I'm reading in the New Testament that apply to the church or the family of God are the same for our families as well. So this is something that was sort of an aha moment for me many years ago when I was trying to figure out sibling relationships with my kids, like what principles should be guiding me as I'm nurturing these sibling relationships. And what the Lord really made clear to me was that all the scriptures that talk about the body of Christ, the family of God, and how we're supposed to treat each other applied to sibling relationships. And that was a game changer because then I could go to the scriptures and I could look up these principles and I could ask God for wisdom as to how to apply them to our particular family. All right, so here are the verses that I want to share with you, and there are lots of them. These are just a few. Romans 12, verse 18 says, "If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all." Hebrews 12, verse 14, "Strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord." Galatians 6, verses 1, it says 1 through 18, but I'm not reading all of that. "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor, for each will have to bear his own load." Romans 8:28, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 3, "I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." It's so clear what our posture needs to be as members of the body of Christ toward each other and what our posture should be within our own families toward each other. So today I want to share with you some tools that our family has recently learned that can help us live in peace and unity with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, this also includes our believing adult children and extended family members who are believers, specifically relationships that are ongoing, and even like community living. So our family is living in community with one another, and we are learning how to do that. This is a huge learning curve for us because none of us has ever done this before. My husband and I didn't grow up on property with our parents in a multi-generational thing going on. And so sometimes we feel like we're going through a maze blindfolded, trying to figure things out. And God has been really gracious to give us wisdom along the way, and we're so thankful. But sometimes that wisdom comes from asking for help, which is something that we ended up needing to do recently. So we had a situation where there was what we would call a dust up. And what I mean by that is like tension in the relationship. And this wasn't the first time, and we had tried to resolve it ourselves in the past, but it keeps coming up. It wasn't wrecking everything. It wasn't like there was this ongoing angst towards each other or anything like this. It was just something that kept rearing its ugly head. And so we decided, you know, this keeps happening. It kind of goes around the same thing and happens sort of the same way. And so when you look at that, you have to think about the definition of insanity, right? What is insanity? It's doing the same thing and expecting different results. So the same thing was happening. We couldn't expect different results. And so what we realized was we need to call in reinforcements, okay? And so we gave Pastor Wes a call. Now, Wes has been on the podcast many, many times. Many of you are familiar with him and you know that he is incredibly well-grounded in the Word. He's also someone that we know personally and trust. We sit under his teaching all the time. He's one of the elders, so of course we come under that leadership in our local church. He knows all the parties involved. And like I said before, he is grounded solidly in biblical truth. So we gave him a call. We asked for help. And with that, when we do that, moms, when we ask for help, with that comes the benefits of a third set of eyes and ears, perspective, like outside perspective, but also some accountability for all of us. And what we have to remember is it doesn't matter how far we are in our walk with the Lord or with others, none of us is above needing to ask for help. God's word is so clear that we need to work toward peace, even if it's uncomfortable, even if it feels really hard and messy. We obey God because we believe He knows what is best. And so sometimes we're going to put that effort forth and it's going to appear as though it fell flat. But can I just say, God honors our efforts. As we make that investment, maybe we're just sowing a seed and we're not actually going to reap a harvest for a while. But that isn't the point. The point is we obey God regardless of the outcome. And we trust that He knows what is best and He's called us to work toward peace. He is God and we are not. And we need to be like a child who obeys their parent even when they don't understand. Now, if you kind of like are kind of wondering about that topic, I just recently did an episode on whether or not it's really that big of a deal that our children obey us. And so I'm going to leave a link in the show notes for you to listen to that. It was a great refresher on the basics when it comes to biblical parenting. So I mentioned that this little kerfuffle, or what we would call a dust up, was something we needed help with. So Wes came over, he sat down with all of us, and there was communication. He encouraged communication back and forth with, this is what I was trying to say, this is what I was trying to communicate, and then the other person saying, this is what I heard, and then vice versa. Remember, I've talked about drive-through talking before. That is something I'll leave a link in the show notes for. But drive-through talking is a great communication tool. And so we did something similar to that day, because you don't really know how people are hearing you, for sure, especially when there's a lot of emotion involved, tension, potentially some bitterness, resentment, other negative negative experiences with that person that we're sort of pulling into the current conversation. And so, of course, the conversation is going to get a little bit heated first before it sort of dies down a little bit, which is what happened. And then Wes stepped in and basically said, I mean, he let it play out. It was really, really interesting to watch how he did that. Very, very wise, I felt like, because he needed it to take the natural course of things. But then when everything sort of settled down a little bit and we were sort of like, okay, what now? He offered an affirmation and he offered an observation. So he affirmed each person who was struggling with that particular communication that went on. And then he observed what he saw happening. And so it was really, really cool to hear a third party that we trusted to really speak into the situation. But then he went on to give us three really important categories. And this is what I really, really want to share with you. And I want you to understand and take into your own life if possible. It was so valuable to me. And I walked away with it just so thankful for this tool that I just, again, wanted to take that wisdom that I acquired just in the last couple of weeks and bring it to you so that we can become wise women of God together. Okay, so when there is a dust up, because this is the plan that came into being at the end of the conversation, once we worked through a bunch of stuff, and so I think that's the first thing that I would tell you before I get into the three things I want to tell you. The first thing is to come to the conversation humble, be prayed up. Sometimes we think we're humble. We have an attitude of humility, but we really don't, especially when there's a lot of emotions involved. So pray and ask the Lord to prepare your heart and the other person or person's hearts to come to the conversation humbly. That you go to this conversation ready to apologize, even if you think you did or said nothing wrong, and be ready to listen. That would almost be the very first thing I would suggest. Come humbly, come ready to listen, come ready to apologize. So When I say ready to listen, that means listening to understand. I've used the phrase seek to understand before being understood several times as I've talked about working through sibling relationships and that kind of thing. If we can have the self-discipline to seek to understand before being understood, it can actually waylay much of many of the problems that we're experiencing with that person, because a lot of times there's been a miscommunication. We've heard something or didn't hear something that we should have. And so we come humbly, we come ready to apologize, we become ready to listen, actually listening to understand, and we come ready to apologize. And so when we come to that situation with that posture, okay, the next thing that's going to happen is we're going to communicate about what happened to each other. And we're going to say, you know, we're going to each tell our stories and we're going to try to understand what the other person is saying. Again, go back to that drive-through talking. So the first person says, well, this is the situation. This is what happened. This is what I said. This is why I reacted the way I did. The other person repeats back to them in a nutshell what they've said. And then you flip it and do it the other way around. So once that happens, you've got the situation sort of out there on the table. Wes gave us three categories to put that little dust up or situation under that helps us know how to move forward. Okay, so the next thing we're going to do is we're going to categorize that scenario, and we're going to decide if it was, number one, a communication misfire. If you have people in your family with very different personalities, that is a very real thing that probably happens all the time. It can happen under pressure. It can happen because of emotions, under stress, but also just when personalities are very, very different. Also, if there's resentment and bitterness being pulled into that hasn't been resolved, pulled into those communications. So you need to ask, is this just a communication misfire? Okay. The second category is, do we just disagree on this? Okay. So the reason I specified that these would work for believers is because to disagree with one another is absolutely fine as long as it's not a moral or biblical disagreement. And I guess those two really just go together. We gain our moral, our morality, our moral framework from Scripture. So if this is a clearly biblical issue, and we don't agree on it, then we know that we have a difference in maybe a worldview. So then we're talking about something else, right? But if it's just something that's not a biblical issue, it's just a difference in opinion, we can and should agree to disagree, at least for the moment. Maybe down the road, we need to like work on hearing each other's reasons why we have that opinion, and we can go to Scripture. If, you know, some things are clearly biblical, some things are just, you know, they're not necessarily a hill to die on, but there may be some biblical reasons we believe what we believe. That's a conversation we can have down the road. But right now we're trying to take care of the dust up. So number one, communication misfire. Number two, do we just disagree? And number three is super important that we don't skip. Have we sinned against one another? And it's quite possible that in a communication misfire, and even in our disagreement, we may have, the way we handled it, we have sinned against one another. That is something that has to be addressed. If it's not addressed in the relationship, then what's going to happen is bitterness and resentment and unforgiveness are going to fester. And God is very clear that we want to make sure that we eliminate sin from our lives as much as possible, and especially if we're living with one another or we have close relationships with one another, whether that's extended family, adult children, or whether that is the body of Christ. So if we have sinned against one another, Scripture is very clear that we need to say, I'm sorry, I was being prideful. I'm sorry, I treated you that way. I did not treat you with honor and respect. I used unkind words. I'm sorry. So we deal with it. And then guess what? The beautiful part of that is God can come in and flood that situation with his presence, with his redemption. So this is what I love about being a believer. We have so many powerful tools at our fingertips if we will simply use them, because God's ways work. So if you have this relationship, maybe it's with an adult child, maybe it's with an extended family member that you are going to continue to have you're going to be in contact with each other frequently. Like, this isn't something where you only see each other occasionally. This is a regular thing. Here are some other things that we learned. There needs to be some maintenance in that relationship. If there are dust-ups happening kind of on a regular basis, all the things I mentioned were absolutely true, but we can also prevent some of these things from happening. And so one of the ways that we thought of was just having fun together. Are we having enough fun together? Are all of our conversations or our interactions around stressful situations, do we ever just relax and enjoy each other? And so for us, one of the remedies was to have a family game night once a month. Okay. So just plan that so that relationships can be cultivated in a positive, fun way with snacks and whatever. And so that was something we've decided to implement. And then a once a month dinner to check in to be sure that there were no dust ups over the last 3 or 4 weeks. And also in that conversation, we can ask for clarification either on something we said or did, or something they said or did. So maybe we like kind of have questions in our mind. You know, I had this conversation with this person and it felt a little off. And that's my chance to say, you know, I had this conversation with you and I wasn't sure what you were thinking or what you were meaning, but this is what I was getting from it. Could you clarify that for me? Now, if we're doing that every 3 to 4 weeks or less, we're going to avoid the big problems. Like, it's like if you're driving your car, you know, on a regular basis, you've got to stop every now and then to do some maintenance. You got to check the oil. You got to check the water. You got to check the transmission fluid, right? Because if you don't, you could end up with a real problem and your engine is going to seize up. You're going to have to rebuild the whole thing. We don't want to do that in our relationships. We want to be faithful to steward them well, like we would a car engine. But anyway, these are just a few of the things that just stood out to me over the last couple of weeks that I felt like I needed to share with you. So I hope you find this helpful. I hope you're able to implement some of these things. I just really, my prayer is that within your home, your family, and also within your church family, your extended family of believers, maybe your adult children, that this would be an incredible encouragement to continue to strive for peace in those relationships like God has called us to. So think about and pray about how you might apply these principles. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for your faithfulness. I love how when we humble ourselves and say, God, I need help. We need you to come and help us in forgiving us people in our lives to bring those tools to us that we so desperately need. Father, help us to walk in our relationships with each other, with humility, with love, with faithfulness, with trust in you, and with assuming the best in one another, Lord. We thank you that you are so faithful to us, that you, Jesus, set the perfect example. Help us to be faithful followers of Christ, following your example and living in a spirit of unity and peace with one another. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, here is a great resource for those of you with teens. Excel College has a summer leadership camp, and Christine from Colorado shared with us about her son Ben's time at this camp. She said Ben's experience at the summer leadership camp took him to another level of maturity and confidence in himself, which he didn't realize he had. If he could have, he would have stayed in North Carolina to glean all there is to glean from the leaders at camp and within the college. 10 out of 10 would recommend. So as parents, we look forward to the day that our teens see themselves as the leaders they truly are in Christ. Sometimes it takes stepping out of their comfort zone for them to realize who they are. That's why my friends at the XL College are hosting a summer leadership camp for teens ages 16 to 19 years old, where they will learn to discover God's truth, discern wisely, and live wholeheartedly. Are you ready to see your teen grow and thrive? Apply now at thexlcamp.org. I'll leave a link in the show notes. Have a great day, moms.